when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Here's Blood River Radio family. We are back. We've transitioned to the second hour. We have Mr. Mark Tomey, my brother, brother of the League of the South. We have Miss Bell Cow herself, Miss Nancy Hitt, the Bell Cow, there coming on. And I would just like to shout out to Mr. Gene Bitterender Andrews, Mr. Harold of Jonesboro, Hank the Sasquatch, the Big Sasquatch, Mr. and Mrs. Sasquatch, and Frank White. For there were the four this past week that's keeping us on the air. It's people like that and all the other supporters we have that made it possible for us. We sent in a check last week. Matter of fact, it was delivered, I think, Friday to Liberty News Radio. We're paid up 1 year in advance, and we're saving money for next year. If I'm repeating myself, that's okay, because I know people come and go on the air all the time, different times. But we have some operations planned, and we'll go on the road. And there's something we've been planning for a while, to do something for our precious Blood River Radio family listeners. If we can save enough money to do that, we would love to do that. But I would like to compliment Mark and Miss Mindy. That was a show plan. That was the blueprint for the way you do a radio program. If you notice, there was no talking over each other. There was none of that stuff. You know, we have a tendency to think what we have to say is more important than anybody else, or we just get carried away with enthusiasm when we talk to other people. But I'd like to compliment both of those people. They did a marvelous job not talking over each other in a civilized way, the way it used to be in a talk show back in the 1950s, back before I used to listen to them much. But I want to see my compliments to them. Now we have my big sister, the Bell Cow, coming on, and it looks like she's going to be able to fill this hour from cover to cover. I had a story I was going to tell, but I'm only going to tell it if we get time. I don't want to interrupt what she's wanting to do, because these people, Mr. Mark and Miss Nancy, they're good enough to come on and keep Blood River Radio running, so I'm not going to take one minute from their time. So anyway, how are we doing, Miss Bell Cow?
Almost perfect, little Eddie. Almost perfect. I do have an outline. I think Rand may have joined us as well, if I understood correctly.
Well, we really don't have room. I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but we really don't have room for, we've got, let's say, three of us right now. Maybe a little bit of the third hour. See, I pretty much have to know, I know as I've talked to Rand, and he said he probably wouldn't be able to come on. So we plan to fly without Rand, bless his heart. We got Miss Mindy coming on third hour, so we don't want to get too over. That way, if you have too many people, nobody gets to speak. So anyway, continue on, Miss Nancy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got an outline of several things, but I'll start with our weekly tar and feathering. I'm going to say let's tar and feather with a lot of hot tar. Almost 99% of the U.S. Congress men and women for fear of the Jews. And I think one of the heroes of the time of this week is my senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul, who is calling for a vote on war powers. And also he wants to withdraw our bully nation from setting up these bases all over the world. One of the things that I wanted to point out, Eddie, is you often talk about something that I think our listeners may not be aware of. And actually, having done some research, I was rather surprised at this number as well. Eddie, you often talk about Palestinian Christians. And I have to look at this and I have to kind of compare what is going on today with what the medieval Christian crusaders did when they invaded the Arab lands and killed many Christians by accident. What is happening today is, it's inverted, of course, but the ongoing devastation and genocide of the Palestinians, Christians on the outside looking in have no idea. They think that the only people are being killed, who are being killed in this genocide, are evil Muslims, people they don't understand, a religion they don't comprehend, a people who are basically almost all considered terrorists. No, wake up, people. There are Palestinian Christians. In fact, the Jews, actually the Zionists, not too long ago, a couple days ago, they bombed one of the oldest Greek Orthodox churches in the world that was located in Gaza City. But I want to give you a figure that I was rather surprised about. In 1948, we know that that was the occupation started by the Zionists, and I assume that many Christian Palestinians did leave of their because of the duress and the attack and bombings and massacres and raping and burning that took place in 47 and 48. Well, oddly enough, that's not totally the case. There are currently, if they're still alive, 1,100 Palestinian Christians in Gaza, and almost 47,000 in the West Bank. That's almost 50,000 Christians who are suffering because the Jews are not making it easy for the Christians in the West Bank, which would incorporate Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and they have made it very difficult in those communities for Christians to actually survive. It says here that, for example, I've got a little note here. So, for example, 70 years ago, Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus Christ, was 86% Christian. Now, these are Palestinians. The demographics of the city, however, have fundamentally shifted, especially after the Israeli occupation of the West Bank in June of 1967 and the construction of the illegal Israeli apartheid wall starting in 2002. Many people do not even know these apartheid walls, and even the highways that exist are allocated only to Zionist use. Part of the walls were meant to cut off Bethlehem from Jerusalem and to isolate the former from the rest of the West Bank. And here's where I come up with this population count. A population census carried out by the Palestinian Central Bureau of Statistics in 2017 concluded that 47,000 Palestinian Christians are living in Palestine, with reference to the occupied West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip. 98% of Palestine's Christians live in the West Bank, concentrated mostly in the cities of Ramallah, Bethlehem, and Jerusalem, while the remainder, a tiny Christian community of nearly 1,100 people, live in the besieged Gaza Strip. And I have heard these Christian Palestinians say that although we think they're only bombing the so-called terrorist Muslims, who, you know, a lot of Americans think that they're all really, that every one of these people getting killed, I think, is a terrorist. But even the Christians are saying, we're going to stay here and we're going to fight it, just like our Muslim brothers are doing. So I just thought that that was an interesting information. I too was rather surprised at the almost 50,000 surviving Christians still living in Palestine, or what they now call Israel. Those are a couple of the things. And one other thing I might bring up before we move on is that at least 18,000 Palestinians have been killed, probably more than that. Thousands are unaccounted for under the rubble of homes. And 50,000 so far injured. Hospitals have been bombed. Churches been bombed. Muslims been bombed. It's just, to me, it's a total embarrassment that America completely, almost unilaterally, always is voting in conjunction to support Israel. We're now very recently calling, we're the only ones that veto a ceasefire recently. So it's just, I don't know. I'm sure that there's going to be retribution somehow or other. I do believe that our government is hoping to create a false flag within this country so that the Americans, who also are probably not too informed about what is going on, so that the Americans will be up in arms again about Muslim terrorists. I think that that's what they're planning in this country. So I'll just leave it at that. That's just another idea from the Nexus of Evil.
Nancy, I think you're on something there, because I heard a report on the news just the other day about some top military official who was saying that we should be on a heightened alert, if you will, for lack of a better way to phrase it, about the possibility of domestic attacks here in the U.S.
Mark, we're going to go to our first break, brother, the second hour, brother. We're going to go right after this quick break. We'll go right back. I'll make a quick comment, and we'll go right back to Mr. Morrow. Be right back, brother.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week, because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this old bombardier here, we're going to make one quick comment in response to Sister Nancy's her rhetoric, and then we're going to go right back to Mr. Mark. Miss Nancy said, the bell carrier herself said, that she doesn't believe that American Christians know what's really going on in Israel. I say some of them might not know, but what I propose to you, they do know. they don't care that Christians are being killed. They don't care who's being killed as long as it's not their precious Jews, because, like we talked about during the break, American Baptists, Southern Baptists / Judeo-Christians, in their little warped way of thinking, when they say Christian, that they're Christians, what they're really telling you is they've been Judaized, that they are really Jews at the heart, first and foremost. They worship Jews, they worship Israel, and they think that Jews are the God. They're not just God's chosen people. They are God in their opinion. So they don't give a care how many Muslims, how many Jews, how many Christians are killed there, as long as their precious Jews are untouched. And Miss Nancy also said that the United States always votes with Israel. Well, really, when you say Israel, I do this little graph on my sheet of paper when she's talking. Israel equals USA equals Israel equals USA. If you go in a circle, it's all the same. The United States and Israel is one and the same. It's just separated by some water, because the United States is taken over by these damn Jews years ago. And like Mr. Marx said, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And the Jews, they don't just own the banks. They, for the Jews, print the money, be it paper dollars, be it digital currency, be it United States Federal Reserve digital coin. They control the money. And at the end, in case we don't get time to mention solutions, I'm going to tell you right now, the solution is we have to do away. We'll get rid of these Jews one way or the other. And we have to, and first and foremost, we have to take the power of the money back away from them and go back the way it was in the Constitution of the United States, where the United States Congress prints the money, coins the gold, and sets the value thereof. Mr. Mark, go ahead, my dear brother.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's funny, I was watching something the other day, and I forget what it was now, but there was some kind of thing about, oh, you know, the poor, pitiful Jews and how they've been discriminated against and mistreated and hated the way they are and this kind of thing. And, you know, there's a reason for that. You know, there's a reason why they've been ejected from over 100 countries around the world over the last, you know, millennium and a half. And it's not because of their Jewish religion per se. Most of these places that they've been kicked out of could have really cared less one way or the other how they chose to worship. It's what they do. It's the things that they take over. It always ends up being nefarious. You know, and this is the reason why they end up getting kicked out. I mean, it's a case in point that just popped into my head was, you know, Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand of Spain, they ejected all the Jews from Spain back in the Middle Ages because they had pretended to convert to Catholicism. But in the meantime, they were still practicing Judaism, and they were making sub rosa treaties with the Moroccans and the Moors over in North Africa to help them get back into Spain and reinvade the Spanish, the Iberian Peninsula. Yes. So this is why they got kicked out of Spain. You know, it wasn't because they were Jewish. It was because they were doing dastardly traitorous things to the kingdom of Spain. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing that we've got here. You know, we've got 2% of the population here in America that controls all of the print media, all of the broadcast media, all of the movie making and entertainment companies, and controls all of the financing. They run all the banks. I mean, Goldman Sachs, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, all of these guys, they all have this same Jewish pedigree. They're all Jewish moneylenders. And it's the things that they do that's destroying everything that we hold dear is the reason why they're despised. You know, if they would simply just practice Judaism and be good citizens, you know, most people wouldn't have any problem with them. But they're always doing something evil. And that's the reason why people look at them with a skewed glance. That's why people are suspicious of them, and that's why people say we can't let these folks control things like this, because when you give it over to them, it always ends up badly for the host country. And that's right. And that's where we are here in, you know, quote unquote America now, is that we've allowed this evil cabal of people to take over the control of all of the major organs of culture and finance and government, and they're driving us into the pit of hell.
You know, Mark, before we go, Miss Nancy, here's what Maurice Samuel says. He's a Jew. He says, "We Jews, we are the destroyers. It will remain the destroyers. Nothing you can do will meet our demands and needs. We will forever destroy because we want a world of our own." Go ahead, Miss Nancy.
Well, I would say, Mark, that their religion, the Talmud and the Torah, is evil. And when one understands their religion, one can understand why they have been kicked out of so many countries. They do not abide by agreements. They have a way of, they hate Gentiles. They say these things in secret. They want to basically kill all of us. Their religion is actually very evil.
Their favorite epithet for us is Goy or Goyim, which basically means a beast, you know.
Sure, right. Cattle.
Yeah, a subhuman.
Yeah, that's us.
Here is why they are evil. I would say the devil's pretty evil myself. It says right here, and we've read this 100 times, probably read it 1,000 times more. This is St. John 8:44, King James Versions. Here's what Jesus Christ is saying. This isn't what Brother Jones over here at Bellevue Baptist Church is saying, or what Adrian Rogers said, or what was his name, the biggest Baptist of all.
John Hagee.
He says, here's what Jesus is saying to the Jews. He's looking them right in the eyes, and he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's straight out of the King James Bible. And that's what Jesus Christ said that the Jews were. That's not what the Reverend Joe Jones down the street said, or what's his name?
Or Billy Graham. Hagee with all of his people dancing to Hava Nagila and waving little Star of David flags.
That's right. Their father, the devil. It's that simple. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, what I was going to read something. It's not too long. It's from the recent American Free Press. It's called "The Moral Conscience of Western World is Silenced" by Paul Craig Roberts. Former British Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn was undone by being accused of anti-Semitism. Ask yourself why anyone should be ruined by such a meaningless accusation. To be an anti-Semite, all you have to do is to make a criticism, no matter how small or how legitimate, of any Israeli policy. If your moral conscience is assaulted by, for example, Israel's massacre of Palestinians in the open-air concentration camp, in which Israel keeps them pinned up, and you express your legitimate feelings against such inhumanity, you are an anti-Semite. By definition, anyone with a moral conscience is an anti-Semite.
Of course.
This is something of which to be proud, so why does it ruin you? Why did the U.S. Congress censor the one member who spoke against instead of in favor of the massacre? I think that might have been Thomas Masson.
Well, we've got to go to another quick break, Miss Nancy, but it's because of they are their father, the devil. They were under their father, the devil's children.
Yeah, they do
right
it
back,
for
folks.
All the aforementioned reasons.
We'll be right back after this break, folks.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. President Biden's job approval rating has reached a record low. According to a recent Pew Research Center poll, only 33% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. This reflects a 2-point decrease since Pew's last survey in June. Israeli forces have acknowledged responsibility for unintentionally causing the death of 3 hostages held by Hamas during a conflict in northern Gaza Friday. IDF troops fired upon them after initially perceiving them as a threat. Officials emphasized that this occurred in a combat zone where soldiers frequently encounter terrorists and suicide bombers. The conflict between Israel and Hamas has now entered its 70th day. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan addressed the ongoing situation during his visit to Israel Friday.
There will be a transition to another phase of this war, one that is focused in more precise ways on targeting the leadership and on intelligence-driven operations.
Recently, 2 U.S. officials indicated that the Biden administration has communicated to the Israeli government its desire to see an end to the large-scale ground campaign in the region. Despite this, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said earlier this week that the war will persist until victory is achieved. Airlines anticipate nearly 40 million passengers during the upcoming holiday season. The industry foresees a more seamless operation compared to the previous year's Southwest Airlines meltdown, which was caused by a significant snowstorm. Here's Southwest Airlines CEO Bob Jordan.
We are ready. We've invested in trucks and new pads and staffing and technology. I'm very, very proud of our people.
Southwest Airlines has made substantial investments also in de-icing equipment. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says it's highly likely that 2023 will be officially recognized as the hottest year on record. This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in 3 delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
Dear Blood River Radio, welcome back to Blood River Radio family. Welcome back to Israel, the United States. It's one and the same. We have merged countries. I'm so glad because I worship those Jews. I don't care how evil they get, because you know we have to worship them because they are their father, the devil. That's who we follow. If you're a good Southern Baptist like I am, well, you have to worship the devils. And so if we can't worship the devil in person, we can worship his protege, the Jews here. We have to worship them. We won't be good Baptists. We won't be good Judeo-Christians, will we, Sister Nancy?
Worshiping by proxy.
Yeah, there you go. That's true, y'all. It really is. I mean, if you're anti-Semite, what you're really saying is you're anti-devil, because the Jews, these Orthodox Jews that hate Jesus Christ, they are the Antichrist spirit. They are their father, the devil. So if you're anti-Semite, just follow just common sense. A sixth grader would know that. If you're anti-Semite, that means you're anti-devil. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Yeah, I'll just finish up with what Paul Craig Roberts has to say in this American Free Press short report. He said, "Why have the governments of France, Germany, and UK banned as anti-Semitic demonstrations against Israel's ongoing genocide of Palestinians and theft of their country?" Why did U.S. law firms and corporations collect the names of university students who protested against the slaughter and blacklist them from employment simply because they have a moral conscience. Now ask yourself, how did Zionists achieve such power over the entirety of the Western world as to place Israel and Jews off limits for criticism, no matter their behavior? Of all the peoples of earth, Israelis alone can do whatever they please, and no one is allowed to say one word against it. Why does every Western government submit to such humiliation? Why do they consent to having their voice and their moral conscience silenced? Why does the Western world cower in fear of being called anti-Semitic? The Biden regime is so terrified of Israel that it will even sacrifice America's reputation for Israel. My comment to the end of this is America has no reputation to begin with. They have been doing the dirty work for Israel for decades. They've been attacking and killing thousands and thousands of innocent Middle Eastern people. We have no reputation to be destroyed by Biden. In fact, I'll even enter this into a statement that I believe even Trump was on the side of the Israelis.
You bet your bottom dollar he was.
Yes.
Right.
Well, you know, Sister Nancy, before I go back to Mr. Mark, here, this answers your question. I don't think this is King James, but this will work. This is Matthew 4, 8 through 9. Satan's power, you ask, why do they have so much, why do the Jews have so much power? Well, here's why. Satan's, you swap Jews and Satan's children of the devil. Those terms are interchangeable. And here it is. Here's the reason. Satan's power is over all the nations of the earth. That could be very frightening when we realize he can influence men in such a way that they were not even aware that they were being influenced toward evil. His power is so extensive that he is over all the nations of the earth. Jesus calls him the ruler of the world in John 14:30. So that was commentary leading up to John 14:30 in King James Version. Let's see if I can get that on there. It's Jesus. The Satan is the ruler of this world. That's why these damn Jews have so much power. Duh. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the answers I think, Nancy, as to why so many Western political leaders and governments are cuckolded over this issue is the magic word called the Holocaust. You know, as one friend of mine has said before, there's no business like show of business. And they love to pull the Holocaust card and to make you feel guilty about how, you know, what happened to them during the Second World War and this kind of thing. So, you know, if you disagree with Israel, well, you must want to put all the Jews in gas chambers. You know, that's the leap that they make, because you simply have a policy disagreement with something that the Israelis do. You know, you disagree with Israel, therefore you must want all the Jews to go to the gas chambers. Well, you know, that's stupid. There's no logic to that, to simply criticize the policy of one country and the things that it does doesn't necessarily mean that you want, that you want them all destroyed. But that's where the biggest thing I think comes from. And, you know, you know, the German people today, what I understand, they're still paying reparations to the Jews in Israel over the Holocaust. You know, and it's illegal in Germany to even question the historical veracity of the whole Holocaust narrative and all this other kind of stuff. You know, you can literally get put in prison simply for bringing into question any of the facts or lack thereof, as the case may be, that surrounds that event. You know, for example, one of my favorites is that the Jewish Encyclopedia back in the late 30s or early 40s said that there, the entire Jewish population of Western Europe was only 2.5 million. So explain to me how they killed 6 million of them. You know, the math just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got another article I read one time said that the plaque, the bronze plaque, memorial plaque in front of Auschwitz, I think, since the late 1940s, the number of people supposedly killed there has changed like three or four, been changed like three or four times. At first, it was like 100,000. Now it's up to over 1 million, you know, that were killed just in that one place. And even the Red Cross's own numbers from these places don't add up with, you know, the conventional wisdom of the number of people killed by the Nazis and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, as I've said to people many times over the years, is that, look, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Nazis didn't kill a lot of people. They did. But they didn't kill near as many as you claim. And the only people they killed weren't Jews. My father's best friend when he was growing up, his mother and dad were Polish immigrants, and they were Roman Catholics. And they both had the little numbers tattooed on their forearm. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, Mr. and Mrs. Hankey's forearm. They had the number tattooed on them because they were in one of those camps over there. So there were lots of other people that the Nazis put into these camps for one reason or another, besides just the Jews. But to hear them tell it, they're the only ones that were persecuted. They're the only ones that had anything bad happen to them. And as a result of that, everybody from now till kingdom come has to bend over and kiss their butt,
right.
You know, regardless of what they do.
You know, Mark, it's interesting now. You're talking about the Red Cross. Red Cross was allowed into most of the camps. The Germans allowed them into most of these. They were labor camps.
Right.
And they didn't even come up with 1 million dead. And your Polish friends, how come they didn't get gassed? You know, see, there's so – and another thing, when you go back to World War One, we also know that 6 million is an occultic number that is tied in with the – some kind of belief that the Jews have been touting for generations, that when 6 million are incinerated or burned, they're going to get to Israel. They're going to be returned to Israel. They're going to get their promised land. Well, after the First World War, they were claiming 1 million were dying in the First World War aftermath. So, you know, this is 6 million is an occultic figure that ties in with their bizarre beliefs.
Right. I think it comes out of the Jewish Kabbalah, doesn't it? If I understand correctly, I think that's where that 6 million figure comes from. But regardless of which one of their decrepit books it comes out of, you're absolutely right. It's part and parcel to this spiritual, if you want to call it this, their spiritualistic belief in what has to happen for them to become the masters of the universe, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark, for that comment, we have to go to a quick break. This will be our last break for the second hour. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Here at Blood River Radio, welcome back to Nexus of United States Hate Radio, where Blood River Radio, we are proudly residing right in the center of the Nexus of Hate Radio, United States of America, or America, K.A. I would just like to respond to some of our Southern Baptist people. When I know they're wringing their hands and gnashing their teeth, worrying about these poor, precious Jews that died in the Holocaust hoax. I'd like to ask them, do you think, since they're God's chosen people, do you think, was God just impudent and he could not rescue those Jews from those evil Nazis? I mean, you would think if the Jews were God's chosen people, you would think God would prevent them from being killed, but these evil Nazis killed, 6 billion of them, 60 million of them? God, maybe, I guess evidently, bless his heart, he must have been asleep, or he just wasn't unable to rescue them. Maybe that's what it was. Or maybe this. Maybe since Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, he said that there was the Jews, the Cheka, the people who ran the concentration system in Siberia from the 1918 to 1960 probably, they were composed of the Jews ran the entire concentration system. They had about, according to General Nick Glastovic, said they had about 400 concentration camps in Siberia. 66 million white Christians went through there and perished. 66 million, 10 times more than 10 times more than Hitler allegedly killed. So, either God, maybe God was impudent and couldn't rescue the Jews, or maybe he let them be killed because it was payback for what they did to the white Christians in Russia. Maybe this was, or maybe because that. Maybe he just wanted to keep that trademark, that copyrighted jealous God, that jealous God that will have no other gods before it, the Holocaust, the God of the Holocaust. We can't disparage that. Back to you, Sister Nancy.
Okay, I want to just make a few comments from a December the 11th article from Tehran. Now, this is something that's been, I've been told that this is, you can see this on Renzi, but it says the Palestinian resistance in the Gaza Strip has trapped the Israeli army in several areas and is attacking the regime's ground forces from zero distance. In other words, they are approaching these tanks by themselves with a handheld explosive and jumping on the tank or throwing it at the tank, and they've exploded some of the Israeli tanks. I'm surprised anybody's even left in Gaza to even be fighting. But it does say that the Israeli military's massacre of tens of thousands of Palestinian civilians and the destructions of almost the entire coastal enclave have been well documented. But the power of the Palestinian resistance in attacking the Israeli military's ground forces appears to be steadfast. And contrary to the regime's claims, it is nowhere near the verge of collapsing. I find that so hard to believe, but I commend them for fighting. As I told Mark, I compare this very much to our Southern patriots who fought to the death during the illegal occupation of the South, and our effort to also break the occupation of the South during our war for Southern independence. So I commend these people, and it seems that they are continuing to confront the Israeli forces. And somebody said I could see this, I could verify this on Ramsey. Now, I haven't done that. I haven't actually witnessed this. But apparently these men who have been I consider them patriots, are fighting tooth and nail and taking chances of being killed, which, of course, we know they've already killed maybe 20,000 already. But I commend these men. They're defying the odds. Okay, Mark, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you don't have to apologize, Nancy. And I agree, they are patriots. Here in America, we've been fed a false notion of patriotism. As far as the American regime is concerned, patriotism means supporting the federal government no matter what and doing whatever it says no matter what. And it's a perversion of what real patriotism is. I've said this to people many times over the years. I'm a bit of a language nerd, and as a traditional Roman Catholic, Latin is one of the languages that I know to a certain extent. And a lot of the words in the English language come to us directly from Latin, and one of those is patriotism. And the Latin root of the word patriotism is the Latin word patria, which means your native land. It doesn't have anything to do with the government at all. It's about the particular patch of earth where you were born and raised and where your people are and where your culture is and that kind of thing. And so to love one's country does not mean the same thing as supporting the government that rules your country. You can love your country and fight the government to the last extremity. And so that's what makes you a patriot. And, the perversion of language, and this is a tactic of the left. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Again, if you look in the Oxford English Dictionary, which is the oldest and most well-respected and reliable dictionary of the English language, it defines a country, or excuse me, it defines a nation as a group of people who share a common ethnicity, religion, history, culture, and language. That's a nation. It defines a country as a nation with its own government. Mm-hmm. And so by using those definitions, I've argued before, and I'll continue to argue, the United States of America is neither a nation nor a country by those definitions. The United States of America is nothing but the federal government that was created by the ratification of the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to 1865, statesmen on both sides of the Potomac River routinely referred to the U.S. as a union or the union. The word country or nation didn't creep into our political vernacular until well after the war was over, and the Marxists who helped Lincoln foment his succeed in his revolution to overthrow the Constitution by invading and demolishing the South, they're the ones who made all of that stuff into what it is today. You know, the idea of the United States is a nation, and one, you know, that whole Pledge of Allegiance nonsense, one nation under God, indivisible, et cetera, et cetera. Again, before the 1860s or before the 1870s or 1880s, you never saw a U.S. flag flying anywhere except on a federal government building or at a military fort. Francis Belsey, the guy who wrote the Pledge of Allegiance and got it started and everything back in the 1880s, That was where all this U.S. flag stuff came from, and the idea that everybody ought to have one and fly one. And then it started getting put over our state capitals and in front of our county courthouses and over our schools and everything else. And, you know, you drive around and you look at the county courthouse, and, you know, the U.S. flag's flying above the flag of the state of Alabama or Kentucky or Tennessee, wherever you happen to live. You go to your state capitol, the U.S. flag flies above the flag of your state. That is a direct visual indication of who claims sovereignty over Alabama or Tennessee or Arkansas, as the case may be. That U.S. flag flying in the position of superiority above the state flag basically says that the state capital of Alabama is a federal installation.
Right. Okay? Right. Yep.
And
it's about as plain as it could be.
Exactly. Perception becomes reality. Because you talk to your governor or your state legislators, and you propose to them that maybe there should be some pushback against this particular federal thing or that particular federal thing. Well, you know, we can't do that. You know, it's federal law. Federal law trumps everything. Bull manure.
Well, Margaret, even if that flag flies over the churches, you know, how many times have we seen a church, the Baptist church where I used to go to, brother and sister Nancy, we have a Christian flag, but then that Yankee rag flies above the Christian flag. Go ahead, Miss Nancy.
Exactly. I'll comment to my wife, there'll be a U.S. flag flying on top of a church building somewhere, and I'll say, oh, look. It's the First Baptist Church of the federal government.
Yes.
You know what, Mark? I heard some bad news, though. More bad news from Eddie. I think Eddie's giving out Israeli flags.
I surely am. Because you know what? If you take a Yankee flag and you take some paint remover and rub across it, you'll see a Star of David underneath. That's what that is. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I'll say this, you know, Eddie, I might take one just for burning it in my fire pit.
Amen to that, buddy. It's really good for the Johnny on the jobs, too, with the porta potties. I always carry one just in case.
Better than a corn cob?
It's better than a corn cob. Yeah, a corn cob is more valuable. It both certainly is. Yes, sir. We love our Jew flags, don't we, brothers? We love worship Baal.
Personally, as a Southern nationalist, I feel the same way about that striped Yankee flag, too.
Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, no doubt about it. It's one of the same. It's one of the same. If you take a Star of David and rub that Star of David off, there'll be a Yankee flag beneath it. If you take the Yankee flag, they're kind of like they're reversible. It's kind of like one of the reversible heads. They're one and the same. Yeah. If you're a hook-nosed Jew, you got to be a good American. No doubt about it. Well, folks, we're getting ready to run out of time. Well, we got a couple more minutes. We probably got about two more minutes, but I got to quit interrupting y'all. But I'm going to get us kicked off the air. We've already been branded. Liberty News Radio has already been branded as the Nexus of Hate, primarily because of yours truly and the Blood River Radio. And you too, Miss Nancy, you've been branded too, girl. So don't be laughing at me.
Why me, Lord?
That's right, because you're hooked up. Well, folks, we've run completely out of time. Mark, thanks you so much, man. Thank you for bailing my tail out of the fire. We're getting ready to transition to the last hour. We're going to pick up the Bear Ender himself. He's been out with his he's wore out another titanium sword on the Yankees this week. He's coming back with Miss Mindy. We'll be joining up with the Bear Ender. Folks, hang on to your seat. We're transitioning to the third hour. I'll be right back, folks.